I'm never going to sit in front of this mic and say, oh, I never, you know, struggle, because that would be a lie. But what I do want to say is, having been on the other side of it, I really want to weigh my words. I want them to do good rather than harm, you know? Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real-life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your living room together.
We are back for More Than Small Talk, and we're so glad that you're joining us in the fourth chair. And today, we are talking about our mouths. Not what we put in them. That's a fun thing. Cupcakes, brownies, all of that. Today, we are talking about what sometimes comes out of them.
Oh, my goodness. What I need to give a quick shout out to Cindy Kroll in South Dakota, because we did a shout out for confession questions, said, ask me anything. And Cindy sent this question, this confession question. So here we go, ladies. Do you ever have trouble controlling your mouth? And what does that look like?
Okay, yes. I will fess up on this one. So it looks like mumbling, but usually if I'm hungry, like I'm going to be mouthy. So I'm like the commercial for Snickers, where you might need a Snickers, you know, might need to eat something. So
where they transition, like they're one person and then yes, suddenly they're another.
Yes. That okay. is me when okay. I'm hangry.
Just clarifying.
Yeah. So like things set me off more when I'm not feeling well, I'm tired or hungry. Right.
Yeah.
So I think that what it looks like for me is sometimes it's shutting down and sometimes it's mouthing off, and it always ends with apologizing. I'm sorry for what I said when I was hungry. No, not that. But, you know, so yeah.
So like, I want to know what you transition into. Like if this is the Snickers commercial. And Snickers, go ahead and send us Snickers. We're calling out today.
Exactly.
I want some chocolate. So like, what are you before you transition and what do you become?
Okay. Well, I think that I'm pretty sweet and chill and like easygoing.
Yeah.
So I am the opposite of that. So have you ever seen the clips of Miss Piggy when she's really mad? And like that's immediately the first thing that came to my head was Miss Piggy when she pounces on Kermit and like totally like beats him up.
So watch out, guys.
Yeah. Gotta watch her.
I'm gonna start carrying a Snickers.
Yeah. Well, funny story. Mark gets like that too. So when we were first married, I was like, honey, I'll keep a candy bar in my purse. And when you get hangry, just ask me and I'll give it to you. So like 2 weeks later, he's like, okay, I really need that candy bar like right now. I was like, I ate it a week ago.
Yes.
So,
well, and
yeah,
not
it didn't
only
last
that,
in my purse.
I would think that the chocolate that you carry is that really, really, really dark chocolate.
Yes.
That's
that you
what
don't
you
like.
Love. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
Suze doesn't
I
love
think
my
that,
chocolate.
I think that would make me just, yeah. I don't know, I might turn into Miss Piggy. And
yeah. So we were talking about this, you know, getting ready for the show. And yeah. I said, when y'all asked me, do you yes. have trouble? I said, you know, I don't think I do. I don't feel like I struggle that much with my words. I don't know if it's just because I'm naturally quiet or yeah. whatever. But then, Sue, someone sent you a message that was kind of a little on the mean side.
It was.
Someone anonymous from the internet.
Yeah.
But you read it to us and I immediately was like, what?
Yeah. I will kill them.
And I was like, oops, maybe I struggle with my mouth more than I realized. And but, I think that's for me. Like, yeah. I won't necessarily like go off and defend myself. But yeah. if you mess with my people,
yeah.
then watch out.
Well, mm-hmm. and it's funny because you didn't go to like, oh man, that's really bad. It's like, I will kill them.
There's no middle ground.
Yeah.
It's like 0 to, you yeah. know.
To psycho.
Yeah, 0 to psycho.
Yeah.
3 seconds.
We need to hashtag that. 0 to psycho.
Well, and it's funny because we do have these conversations beforehand. We just touch on them. And when we asked this question, do you have trouble controlling your mouth? And I said, yes. Jennifer was like, really?
I know. I was really confused by that. But it made me feel better because good. I was like, I'm not alone.
No, because I do have trouble controlling my mouth. And I want to give just a story. A couple of weeks ago, it was just one of those days. You know what I'm talking about? Like every single thing that I was trying hard to do right was not turning out right at all. And at the very end of that day, it was just kind of like, okay, I'm done. Like, it hit me so hard. And my reaction, my instant reaction was like, I'm done. You know, I'm just going to lash out. I'm just tired of this. And so instead, I sent a message to my sister and I said, hey, sis, would you just pray for me? Because I know, like, I'm right on the edge of doing and saying something that could be damaging. And I don't know what to do. And she sent me back a message. She said, first of all, Grace, we all have those days. She said, but second, Susie, she said, don't you think that the reason that your first instinct is to maybe lash out when you're hurt or angry is because of the way that we grew up? That's how we handled stuff in our house. So you are not that child anymore, so you don't have to react that way. And it was just such a beautiful reminder. So that very long story to say that my first instinct when I feel cornered is to have trouble with my mouth, mm-hmm. to come back and defend myself or push you away some way. And so I can't lean into it,
right?
Though I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is our fight or flight response, right?
Yeah.
That we have the system. And I think we each tend toward fight or flight.
What if we have both? Like, what if you want to lash
both.
Out and then run away?
Yeah, we all have both. But I think we have all have one we lead with. So yes. You would lead with fight and then yes. choose flight. Where I would I would immediately run away, you know? And Jennifer, I don't know, what would you say? Do you lead with fight or flight?
I lead with flight.
Yeah.
Running away. So I think even just being aware that I can speak up for myself and maybe have it like, problems with being mouthy is such a gift, you know, because of my childhood and because I had to shut everything down.
Sure.
And then I heard a lot of words, like I learned a lot of swear words early. But I think that learning what not to say and how not to say it was a really good example of why I didn't want to be reactionary.
Yeah.
If that makes sense to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I saw both sides. I saw the sweet and calm and loving way that said nothing and was wise. And then I saw the volatile way that said a bunch of things and threw things. And that scared me.
Yeah.
So I never wanted to be that.
I get that. Because this is the thing. I don't want to say words that is going to hurt somebody I love or hurt somebody I don't even know. I don't. I care very much. I think words have power and I think they're important. And so sometimes I go the other direction is that I just completely shut it down.
Yeah.
You know, even in the presence of someone, I'll just shut it down. That's not healthy either.
Right.
Like, so the lack of words that I choose in that moment mm-hmm. is just as damaging, I think.
Yeah.
Because people know.
Oh, they know.
You know, yeah. it's not like I'm fooling anybody.
Right.
Well, I think, you know, fight or flight, that's kind of built into us. But neither one of those are necessarily like a spirit-led response.
Right.
You know?
Oh, man.
And
there she
that's
goes.
Impossible to like go to that first. But I think knowing like what's my natural human reaction.
Yes, it's important.
To shut my mouth or open my mouth.
Yeah.
And then asking Jesus, you know, where did that come from? Like y'all said, you know, is it from my childhood? In my house, we didn't do conflict. So, you know, mine was flight, but just saying, how did this come about? And then now what is the new response that I want to have, which right. is what y'all have been talking about,
right.
finding a different way to respond.
Right. Well, and there's these aha moments that can happen, like just texting my sister and saying, hey, sis, I just need prayer. And her coming back and saying, oh, you know what, Suze, this is natural. And this is probably the reason why you're feeling the way you do. There's just a little light bulb that goes on and goes, okay, this is what's taking place.
Yeah. And I love that you acknowledged it because I think if you had stayed in that situation and just told yourself, I'm a terrible person for feeling this way, you probably would have blown up.
Yeah.
You know, like you gave yourself a healthy way to like let off that building pressure mm-hmm. instead of it letting come out through your words, you know,
and
we
words,
do in those moments, we need a way for those emotions to come out.
Yeah. And if you've ever been on the receiving end of somebody else's lack of insight with their words, man, it carries a heavy price. And I don't want to be that. I have been that person. I'm never going to sit in front of this mic and say, oh, I never, you know, struggle, because that would be a lie. But what I do want to say is, having been on the other side of it, I really want to weigh my words. I want them to do good rather than harm, you know?
So what's going to help us with that? What's going to be that one thing that we're going to pay attention to when we do have problems with wanting to be mouthy and wanting to be reactionary in the moment?
Well, I think what we just said, you know, is kind of step one, pausing to acknowledge, okay, I'm not in a good place right now, and I can feel the volcano getting ready to erupt.
Yes, Mount Mama.
About to explode.
Yeah, I think that it's important that we focus on progress rather than perfection.
That's good.
And that's important for me, is to look back and say, you know what? The reality is that this was how I was raised, or these are the things that I've experienced, but that doesn't mean that that has to be me. And so look at what God has done in my life and celebrate that. Like, you have brought me so far, Lord. And if today was a Mount Mama day, teach me through that. Show me where that trigger point was. Show me how to do it differently next time. Help me see the person standing in front of me, and I'm going to progress. I'm not going to be perfect.
Yeah. And I think in those moments, not letting shame and guilt take over, because then we tend to turn away instead of just, this is what happened. This is how I got there. This is what I can do differently next time. You know, grace lets us take a look at it in a way where we can actually do it differently in the future, where shame and guilt makes us just want to kind of shut our eyes to it.
Yeah. Shame drives you into darkness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It does. Shame drives you into a place of isolation. There is no healthy thing that comes out of shame. There's just not.
Yeah. So I'd say, you know, if you're feeling convicted about how you spoke to someone else, be very careful in those moments how you speak to yourself.
Yeah.
That's good.
Because that hurts really God just good. As much, right? Since he loves us,
like,
all the same.
Like, I want to write that down. I want to put it on my mirror. Yeah. That is so, so good.
Yeah. So I do think that that is something, all of those, like the pause and not giving into shame. And maybe, you know, you go to the zoo and it says, don't feed the bears. It's really important for me to not stir up conflict. Yeah. And if I'm talking about it and I'm wanting to gather my army, that is a major red flag, because that shows that I'm not in a healthy place. So I think that not feeding that, whatever's making you mouthy, is just wisdom.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's really, really good. I thought about, as you were talking, you know, on Facebook, they used to have the ability to poke people. And I was just like, why would I want to poke someone? I don't want to be poked. Now it's wave.
Yeah.
Just a little shift.
Still creepy.
Makes such a difference.
So we've talked about some general ways of helping. So can we get down to one specific step that we can take today? And like we like to say, bonus points if it's 5 minutes or less. So if someone's listening saying, yeah, I'm with you, I hear you, I have that problem sometimes. What is one practical thing that's going to help me today?
Well, years ago, I felt the Lord leading me to a place of accountability through a sincere apology. And that meant that if I used my words in a way that hurt someone else or that were careless, not to just brush it off and say, everybody does that, or, oh, they'll understand because they love me, but to follow up and go to that person and say, I messed up. I wish I hadn't said those words. I know that they impacted you, and I'm truly, genuinely sorry. And it made me accountable, because when you have to make a sincere, or you get to make a sincere, genuine apology, and you have to look at someone in their eyes, it becomes an accountability feature as well.
I would say for me, just what I said earlier, just not stirring up the conflict. And so if it's talking to someone who's really wise and I'm going to go to my safe people that speak wisdom over me and my circumstances, instead of the people who would be
stir
in the army.
Up.
Yeah, they would stir it up. They love it. They're in the middle of chaos all the time. I wouldn't go to those people.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that there was something wise that was told me a long time ago, is that if you go to someone and their actions reflect the exact opposite of what you want, they're absolutely not your mentor in that moment.
Right. Mm.
Or any time.
Right.
Yeah. And I think mine would be finding a mentor who does teach you how to guard your words. And during this episode, I've been thinking of my grandma, my Nana, who had polio when she was 29 and was told she would never walk again and spent her life in a wheelchair. But her pastor came to see her in the hospital and said, Frances, this can make you bitter or better. And she would always smile and say, I chose better. And I literally never heard her complain once in her life.
Wow.
And she may have done it, like you said, Jennifer, with safe people. You know, she may have had friends, probably with my grandpa. She would process things because she wasn't fake. You know, it wasn't that. No. She just made a very intentional choice about her words.
Yeah.
And I remember even being at a conference with her and these women were all complaining about the weather and she wasn't. You know, like I can see that so vividly in my mind. And so that is a high standard. I do not keep it. But I think of her and how she felt like the safest person in the world because I never heard her complain. I never heard her talk bad about someone else. So I knew she didn't do in front of me.
Yeah.
She wouldn't do it behind my back.
Yeah.
So every once in a while, I'll just pick a day and say, okay, no complaining for a day. Like try to do a complaining fast.
Yeah.
And so that can be one practical thing. If you have, you know, whatever our word tendency is, whether it's complaining or criticism or gossip or self-criticism, just saying, all right, for an hour or a day, I'm going to take a break from that, because it brings into our awareness how much it's actually present. And it's practice, like you said, Susan. Yeah. It's just a skill that we make progress every time we do that and just get a little better at it.
Yeah. And you're not stuck. I mean, I think that's so important, is that there are times that if we have a series of days or and we think, man, I'm just never, ever going to get this. You are not stuck. We were talking about this in the drive here today to the studio. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. And that is our promise. So,
and I would even say, I feel like there's a woman listening that really struggles with this. And she is incredibly gifted in her words as well.
Yeah.
The reason why it's her signature struggle is because using her words in powerful ways is also her signature strength.
Mm-hmm.
God can speak through her to encourage people, to bring life to them, to make them feel connected. And I think whatever area we're most gifted in is also the area where we struggle most.
Wow.
And we can forget that. So if someone's listening and thinking, oh, I'm so bad at this, just pause and look to the other end of that. And there's probably a gift related to your words, too.
That's so good. So good.
Well, next week we are going to be talking about conflict. So I think that talking about watch your mouth
is conflicted. You just said,
I know, right? Conflict anyone is next week. And so with watch your mouth, I think that this is going to be some really good conversations.
Oh, man. And I love that you're sending confession questions in, because it's leading us down paths where we have to be very vulnerable and honest. And sometimes when that happens, you're like, okay, great conversation. Give me a resource.
You know,
I need to take this deeper. And we all have a resource that can help you in this area in some way. I want to share with you my book, The Mended Heart, God's Healing for Your Broken Places. Because as I shared, my struggle comes from some places that are now healed, but at one time felt very, very broken. And we serve a healer, but we walk through our junk with his help so that we become stronger.
Amen. Well, I want to share with you my book, Freedom, but in it is a chapter about dealing with your inner mean girl. And I really want to bring that up, because I feel like we've talked about watching your mouth and what comes out of it. But that negative self-talk is so destructive. And that's just one chapter that will help you just kind of rein it in and know that you are so worth saying all of those kind things to yourself.
Yeah. And I have a resource, a book called Fierce Hearted. And it opens with me coming to the point in my life where someone has really hurt me and I have to make a choice about what to do about it. And it was the start of when Jesus helped me stop hiding and start learning to speak the truth in love. And that started a little revolution that affected my life a whole lot more than I thought it would. So. Yeah. That's something that you can look into also. And we'd love to hear if you have resources. So you can go onto the More Than Small Talk page on KLRC.com, share your story, share your resource. We would love to learn from you. And also, we would love to know if you have a confession question that you would like to have us answer on air in a future episode. And we will give you a shout out by your first name unless you tell us you don't want that. So just again, go to the More Than Small Talk page on KLRC.com and leave your question as a comment, and you just might show up in a future episode. And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available through the More Than Small Talk page at KLRC.com. You can subscribe to More Than Small Talk through your favorite podcast app so you won't ever miss an episode.